just going to ask you how you all are. I imagine you're feeling a wee bit better than what I am. I'd like to just start by saying thank you to the church for giving me this opportunity this evening. And again, I want to thank every one of you in this church for your prayers for me, for Jason, and for my family. We love you all very much, and I really appreciate the way you've welcomed me into Abbot's Cross. So humbled to stand in the presence of the Lord here tonight, a sinner saved by God's grace. This story is nothing about me. It's about God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, and plan that he had for my life. I'd like to read a verse from God's word, Luke chapter 5, verse 33. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So for anyone that doesn't know me here, and as my brother said, there's not many people in the church that don't know me. My name's Kelly Bowers and I'm 41. I became a born-again Christian on the 23rd of July, 2017. And I love my life today. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honour and a privilege, and I love him with all my heart. And to God be all the glory tonight. To tell you a wee bit about my life, first childhood memory probably is a wee bit of a sad one. My dad died quite suddenly when we were all wee, and this was a sad impact in our home. Some years later, my mummy went on to remarry, and I have my stepdad, Bobby, here tonight. I grew up in a house with three sisters and two brothers, and I love them all very much. That was a busy wee home we had. Whilst we never grew up in a Christian home, I attended the Clockfern Gospel Hall Sunday School. And this is where I was taught of God's love for me. Taught me Bible verses like John 3 and 16. And that's what was instilled in my heart as a child. And can I tell you, every week you were lined up, and if you got the verse right, you got your sweets. And I loved my sweets, so I never got a word wrong. Some of my happiest memories were spent at this Sunday school, and every year we went on a wee trip to Ballycastle, and I remembered singing the Lord's songs the whole way home. And I remember I always used to look at the leaders and think, gosh, they're all so happy. You know, there was something in these people, and I remember always thinking that. I left home quite young, and I married young as well. In that marriage, I had two very beautiful children. They're my life, my son Kyle, 21, who's listening online. So hi, Kyle. And my daughter, Lucy, 17, who's here with me tonight, saved in God's grace also. My husband was unwell. He suffered with his mental health, and he turned to alcohol as a result of that. I spent 15 years in this marriage, and there was times whenever I had everything that this world had to offer. I had a big house, fancy cars, holidays, money in the bank. But I was never satisfied. There was something missing deep inside me. I was always searching for like the next big event in my life. Something to look forward to. A birthday, Christmas, the next holiday. But no matter what came, I never had contentment. And my life always felt empty. This marriage was hard for me. I hid a lot of stuff that went on in my home from my family and from the outside world because I was ashamed of what was going on in my home. This marriage ended when Ian took his own life. This was raw pain for me, as I never had God in my life at this point. And I was felt left feeling with no hope at all. I was now faced with losing my home. Everything that I knew, my cars, I walked away from a job. My whole life, as what I ever knew it, was now gone. When you lose someone to suicide, the question of why, is what torments you. I started to suffer from severe anxiety. I couldn't eat, sleep. I didn't even leave my house. I was in so much pain. I went to visit the doctor. And his answer was sleeping tablets. Tablets for this, tablets for that. Before I knew it, I was addicted to prescription drugs. Can I tell you, they worked for a short while in my life. Then I began to search for something else. The drugs didn't work anymore. So I joined a gym. And I started to train. This is where I got obsessed about what I was eating. If I ate one time in a day, I rewarded myself. I was at the gym morning, noon and night. And when I wasn't at the gym, I was running. I was road running. I ran a marathon that year. So that buzz soon left me as well. This is what was I going to do next? This is when I started to really chase the things of the world. I got involved going out, partying, taking drugs. This is what I would describe as the lost the pot period for people in the unsaved world, that's what you say. I was living for the weekend. But I tell you, this buzz soon left me as well. And these nights out soon left me feeling empty, really empty. I decided that I'd had enough of all the stuff that I was trying in my life. And I went out and got a full-time job. Threw my life into my work and my two children. I decided I wasn't going to go out again. I don't think I could trust myself. January 2016, I got a text message from a friend. And she asked me, would I go on a blind date with one of her friends? I was with my mum at the time. My mum says, would you get her to send us a picture? I was like, that's just my mum. I was like, mum, it's a blind date. But anyway, Jason, someone stalked you on Facebook, sorry. Wasn't me, by the way. Someone stalked Jason on Facebook and sent a picture. My mum decided he was handsome and that I was to go for a coffee. So that was that off. I went on a Monday night for a coffee with Jason, and we ended up with sat for 3 hours over that wee cup of coffee that night. And there was just something there that connected with Jason. There was just something. It just felt like I knew him all my life. Just we really got each other. So we really fell in love, and very quickly we moved in together that summer. And we were happy for a period of time. There was a mission week on in March 2016 in this church. And my brothers had been trying to get me down to this church. They'd invited me to everything. We were putting it off and putting it off. So there was a mission week on. And this Sunday afternoon, I don't know why, but Jason and I decided we were coming to the mission that Sunday night. So we sat in, I think, a third row down there. And we listened and enjoyed it. We felt good and it felt nice inside. But at the end of it, we both looked at each other and says, well, now that was nice, but we've no time to be Christians. We're too busy. You know, maybe another time. Not, it's not tonight. It's not our night. And I says, sure, we're going on holiday. We'll be Christians when we come back from America. We'll do it after our holiday. We're too busy. I have cases to pack and have ironing to do. The next day, I was just starting to question God. Like, I was starting to talk to God, like, just out of nowhere. Like, I started to say to God, why did you let my kids suffer? Why did they lose their daddy and I lost my daddy? And I was like, it was then I started to realise that I was a wee bit angry with God and I was blaming God. I spoke to my brother Matthew about this. Well, he said I was under conviction. Well, I did not know what that meant in any shape or form. He says it was conviction of sin. I says to myself, see, my brother, God love him, he's mad for me went to that church. And I'm knocking back. I don't know what was funnier about that, the fact that I thought Matthew was mad or I was all right. What can I say about the holiday to America, this big holiday? Jason said Satan came. I said he flew first class. There was a war on for our souls and we didn't even know it. Could I be under conviction? And didn't even know it. Kept thinking this. What was this conviction? But something was happening to me. I started to become really unsettled. And this, all of a sudden, this anxiety came back within me. In the midst of this dream, like I was walking around Disneyland, one of the most happiest places in the world, but I was dying inside. I was alone, and I don't know how to describe what was happening to me. In the midst of it all, Lucy woke me up in the middle of the night, my daughter, and told me she had a dream. And she was crying. And I says, well, what was your dream about? What could be so bad? And she said, Mummy, I've just dreamt that me, you, Kyle and Jason went to walk to heaven. And you know, she described the pearly gates of heaven to me, which I only found out about after I got saved. She says, Mummy, we walked up to the gates of heaven and God wouldn't let me in. And she says, God, I'm Lucy. And he says, I don't know you. Depart from me. And she fell into a black hole. She says as she walked along the black tunnel, there was people behind her with holes all over their clothes. So she turned to the man behind her and she said, what's all them holes in your clothes? And he said, that's all my sins I've committed. She was crying. She looked at me. She said, Mummy, do you want to know the worst thing? When I looked down, I had no clothes on. Well, I did not know what to do or what to say. I text Matthew from holiday. I was like, what's going on? I was like, what a strange dream to have. Is this God real? Is this God really trying to enter my life? We came back from America and I had to be alone. Jason and I decided it was time for us to be apart. There was something going on. I woke up on the 23rd of July, 2017, in complete torment. My head was racing. I had bad anxiety. I felt fear in my stomach and my heart was pounding all day. I felt wretched. I didn't want to see anybody and I didn't want to talk to anybody. I went for a walk along the beach and I was so paranoid of anybody seeing me. I actually had my hood up. And I was like, what am I doing? So I was walking down the beach with my hood up. And as I walked along, this voice, clear, a voice that I now know of God, spoke to me. And he said, come to church. I says, what? He says, come to church. So I took my phone out of my pocket and I text my brother Matthew and I said, I'm going to go to your church tonight. And I looked at my phone and I don't know why I kept saying the time. It was like, it's half past three. That kept going through my head and I was like, gosh, I've really lost it here and I like. So I just didn't understand what was going on. I came into the church that night, my head was all over the place. Kept thinking all that day, what good's church going to do me? I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Look at you've done your life, look at where you've been. You've no time to be a Christian. Every excuse under the sun was going through my head. I came to church and I sat about four rows back there. And see, to be honest with you, whenever I came in, I couldn't hear a thing. My head was that busy, I didn't hear anything. Seeing the pastor coming out, it was like his mouth was moving, you know, but I wasn't really taking in what he was saying. But the next thing, my ears opened, and he said at 3:30 that day, God spoke to him and had a message for somebody coming that night. Well, I can tell you, if you thought I was paranoid before I came into the church, you want to see me now? I was like, do they really know me? So after that, he just began to speak my life. It felt like there was things that the pastor said that night that I hadn't shared with no one. And I then knew that that was the Lord in trying to enter my life. It felt like it was me and just the pastor in the presence of the Lord. I looked around and the church was empty. That's how it felt to me that night. My heart was so burdened because I just knew then that that was the Lord trying to speak to me. Tears started to flow down my face. When the pastor had finished speaking, I couldn't wait to finish speaking, by the way. Part of me wanted to run up to the front, and to be honest, I repented to the Lord of that because God told me to run to the front. The only reason why I didn't run up to the front of that night was because fear of man. I thought, you said you all thought I was mad. When he finished speaking, I turned around to my brother Matthew, and he was in floods of tears as well. And he was just sitting with his mobile phone going 3:30. I was like, I know, I've seen that, I get it. So I went up to the pastor at the end and I was like, I think that message might have been for me, you know. So that's when my life was about to change here and it all happened in this wee room here just to the right of me. The pastor asked me what I wanted from God before he started to pray with me. And I said, I just want peace. I want peace. So we prayed the prayer of repentance, and I really repented of my sins to God, and I really wanted the Lord in my life. At the end of my prayer, the tears were still flowing, but all of a sudden, there was no pain with these tears. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Peace and love flooded my whole body. I could hear again. See, when I opened my eyes, I can tell you, that room in there was definitely brighter. I thought that I could turn the lights up and all. I was like, my tummy was calm. The anxiety completely left me. I get up, and can I tell you, I floated out of that room. It felt like my feet didn't even touch the ground. I never knew anything about the Holy Spirit. They didn't teach me anything about that in Sunday school. I thought you became a Christian. God was in heaven, you were on earth. I never knew about the wonderful gift that dwelt within us. Jesus met my every need. Went home that night, and I couldn't wait to phone Jason, even though we weren't really speaking. I really wanted to tell him that I'd given my life to Jesus. So I phoned him and I told him, Jason, I'm a Christian. And he says, oh, how does that feel? I says, like I've won the lottery in my heart. Take that, you know, that we have that. So we went asking. 39 and a half years of searching for something that was missing from me. And finally, Jesus made me complete. The missing piece of the jigsaw was found, and I can't even say that I was smart enough to find it. But God really switched the light on in my soul. I was really scared to go to bed that night in case the feeling left me, and I went back to my old self. But glory to God, folks, I woke up the next morning at 5 a.m. and I was singing. And do you know what I was singing? There's a flag flying high from the castle of my heart. And I was going round my kitchen and I said, Matthew's mad, I'm mad, and this is great. I couldn't believe it was Monday and I was happy. Folks, before I got saved, I didn't do Mondays. If you thought Sundays were bad, you want to see me on a Monday. My prayer that night, whenever I went home, this is what I said. God, I don't want anything from this world. I want to love you and I want you to love me. I didn't even own a Bible and knew nothing of God's word, and this is what he said to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. I kept praying every day for my family and for God to save Jason and my children. 3 months later, God saved Jason and brought him back into my life as a Christian. I was so happy to have him back. I really missed him. God never stopped there. I'm watching my whole family be transformed and what's going on in this church. He saved my sister, my brother-in-law, my cousin, my friend, my daughter. That one blew me away, Lord. Oh, by the way, I have to say my daughter is totally wonderful and fabulous, and I love her so much because she said, well, Mummy, you keep forgetting in your testimony to talk about me. So my daughter is really wonderful. My son's listening online, so there's no fights in my house tonight. Kyle, you're really wonderful too. My stepdad's now saved. I mean, that one's Bobby. If you knew our life before, you know, my mum and recently my Uncle John there, I mean, it's just wonderful how great our God is. God's brought life back into my house. There's a light back on in my home. My son works full time, and let me tell you, that is an answer to prayer in itself. That's a child that didn't come out of his room. 10 months of prayer, the Lord has him out there working full time, and my daughter is a Christian. Jason and I delight reading God's word, praying together, and coming to church to worship a king. God willing, we're going to visit a wee orphanage out in Kenya this year. What a blessing. God has blessed my life so much and has met my every need. He has brought so many great people into my life. Some of them are here tonight. Special thank you to the pastor and his wife, Diane and Robert. Can't even go and name you all because I love you. Every one of you is in this room tonight. I love you all so much. I've had trials as a Christian, I can tell you. I've been on some mountaintops and I've been in some valleys. But I tell you what I've learned, the God in the mountains is the same in the valley. I love that wee song, you know, Linda Randall sings, the God in the mountains is the same in the valley. And if it's not God's plan to stop the storm, he promises to bring us through it. I got a wee word from the Lord just whenever we were in the midst of a storm, and I really just clung to the Lord at this time because I just didn't understand what was going on. And this is what the Lord said, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. I cling to that. I think that is lovely. When you go through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. I wake up every day and I thank God for saving me. I thank him for my life. I thank him for answering my prayers. I thank him for my eternal life and that someday I will see him in glory. I thank him for the peace and the joy that rules in my heart today. Our God answers prayer. Come to my house and you'll hear the gospel being played all day long. I'm a wee bit like a psalmist. I just like singing to the Lord. Jason just loves to call in. You're his favourite hymn. Don't you, Jason? That's a joke, by the way. He's like, no, no. Jason and I live apart until we marry this year in this church. How exciting is that? And guess what? Every one of you is invited. Come along, listen, you can have your tea in your knee or whatever. Just everybody's welcome. Anybody here tonight, you're all very welcome. I'd like to just leave you. My favourite Bible verse is in the Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. I just think no matter how you're ever feeling, just open the book of Psalms and the Lord gives you something. And it's in Christ alone my hope is found. I was reading over some stuff this week and the Lord just laid this in my heart. It was a quote from Billy Graham. And here's what he said. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Thank you so much for listening. May the Lord bless you all. Thank you.